Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
Hello, June.
How are you this morning?
You know, I got a little bit of pep in my step.
Oh, great.
Take me with you.
I shouldn't.
Lift me up.
I shouldn't, because I am like a former like shell of my human self. But I have to tell you, you and I were together yesterday in a professional capacity. And, you know, every so often you hit a little pocket of magic. And you were making me laugh so hard. I couldn't even get. Yes. You were making me laugh.
What?
You were making me laugh. We had to do something that was borderline humiliating, but also really funny. And you were making me laugh so hard that I couldn't even get a physical laugh out. It was like an internal knowing. It was a knowing of how funny you were.
What's so interesting is like, yeah, because you didn't really see what I was up to.
I could see you, though.
But you could. You saw your third eye.
And I was driving BB to school, and I said, because, you know, a lot of times she just hears me bitching about having to work. And I said, you know, BB, I felt so lucky yesterday. I said, if you told my young self that I could go to work with one of my best friends, you know, have your hair brushed, but also like be made to laugh so hard. Cause the truth is, it's all I really like to do is just laugh, is just be stupid and laugh. And then I got to be paid for it yesterday. I thought, boy, I'm the luckiest girl in the world.
You know what, Jess? I so appreciate this, because you're absolutely right. And by the way, right back at you. I don't think anyone makes me laugh harder than you. I'm serious. Like, I really don't think so. So it was a real dream come true. And Deep Divers, you'll hear more about it, but we've got several things. You're going to see us more together around town.
Surprisingly. People have kept us apart for so long. And also,
well,
like,
we were always going after the same role. And so whenever you saw something that I was in, you knew
I lost.
Most likely Jessica had
lost.
Probably not lost. You probably had to leave for a better job, and then I replaced you.
No.
So, you know, that's happened so many times that the fact that the industry is expanding for both of us and saying, like, you can be together. You can be together.
It won't shatter the universe.
Yeah, and also, the cameras won't break.
No, and we played sisters in this, and you'll see soon enough. But also, like, we've also physically become so similar looking because we just are becoming one. And we had the exact same nails. And again, we're not going to keep talking about nails, but I did say to you in the middle of it, I said, if I didn't have these nails, I don't think I could have embodied what was essentially playing Faith Hill. I was on a mic, and I was embodying Country Strong.
You did so good.
It was embarrassing.
And I realized something about you that's a little scary to me.
It's embarrassing.
No, because I'm going to say something to you, because I know this type, and I'm realizing that we talked about the alien, the little alien head. Okay. But the interesting thing about you, though, and your excellence as a as a talent, as an artist, as a writer, is I'm realizing that you do a lot of rhymes, riddles, and rub, rub a dub about, oh, I'm not that good at this, or I'm not that good at that, and you know it's going to be bad, and you see it's so half-assed, and then it's not. And that's the difference between you and I. I feel like I'm actually like, oh no, I can't do that, or I'm not good at I. That's not I. I fucked up, and you're going to see how bad it is, and it is. But you, I no longer can trust your barometer because I once, you know, you told me like, oh, I'm not going to be able to. I'll just say you said I'm not going to be able to sing. I'm not that good of a singer, and then that was a lie. And that, not only that, but yeah, it was so good that, you know, okay. It just, yeah, so yeah. That was a
anyway,
lie.
Anyway, I don't want to jerk each other off, but I...
No, it's just a lie.
You that's have okay. to understand.
But why do you do that? Why do you do
well,
that?
Well, that's interesting.
To make me feel
listen,
better?
In this show, we were asked, both of us, can either of you sing? And I said, I can carry a tune. And you said, absolutely not. I'd have to go to singing camp. I would have to be put, you know,
I
my vocal cords would have to be.
I said, I need to spend some time with it. I could probably do it. I just need to spend some time with it. And then so, what happened was they said, no, we'll take Jessica.
So then I was summoned to a recording studio that I then found out Beyonce had been at some point to it. And I walked into a gigantic room that was made for an orchestra. And then I realized, oh God, I didn't rehearse this. I didn't even listen to it. And that filled me with a panic. But again, that's when, you know, like when Tom Cruise, you know, when Maverick and where's Shelley, and I get it. But when he's landing that plane, like he doesn't have time to think. He has to just go for it.
That's
he has to go to Mach 11, even though
that, okay.
You know, his skin might melt.
And that's the thing. I think you like to live in that place. I learned that about you this week.
It's dangerous.
Really, to quote you, that gets your motor running.
It does.
That gets your motor running. No, I think we did have some magic. We made magic this week, and
just a little bit of magic. We sprinkled some fairy dust around town,
and it was
we spent so much time saying, "Oh, I didn't do this right. I didn't do that." I thought, "I'm gonna sit into this." Now
you're absolutely right.
I do want to also say and give credit to the fact that at the end of a very long day, you wanted to get out of the hotel we were in so fast that you couldn't find your sweatpants, and you put on a trench coat that wasn't even yours, a parka.
That was my raincoat.
You put it on without pants. You exited the hotel room and said, let's go. And then you were pacing back and forth like a while. I got to get out and pressing buttons. And I was like, she's pantsless. She is sans pants. That's how you exited the set.
Well, so you have to understand. And when we talk about Scorpio.
When you got to go, you got to go.
You got to fucking go. Scorpio
like
says,
it.
I'm done. And what that means is like, we got to get the fuck out.
I've never seen that behavior before.
I was also trying to get back to my kids to see them before they went to bed.
That's true.
And I was like, they're literally going to fall asleep. I hadn't seen them in the morning. I'm like, they're falling asleep right now unless I get home. And yes, deep divers. I had changed into a costume at one point and I had put my sweatpants over a dress to be comfortable. And then I left them on the set. And when I realized that I had to return to the set, that I had to find them somewhere, probably had been moved, I made a split second decision to land the fucking Mach 11. And I was like, it's time to go. We leave without pants today.
To stand at a valet
without pants. I'll post that picture. Yeah.
Not only post, I have a video of it. And here's you guys have to understand, I'm cooking up a little something, and June keeps saying, I can't handle it until post-pickleball tournament. But I am taking video.
Don't seem to respect those boundaries.
Again, does Tom Cruise, you know, what's his face comes, you know, he doesn't, Mad Men guy, he's saying, you got to stay on the ground, and Maverick goes up. There's a mission to be completed, and he's not going to stand there with his dick in his hand and just watch.
Well, listen,
watch
I told you
these young
times,
fighter
I'm not taking
pilots.
Anything else on in terms of the podcast until I get this tournament done.
I know, but I just want to let everybody know that, like, I'm taking video of all this insanity. So when you do have an opportunity to join whatever site we're on and see it, it's going to be good because I've taken it all and it's on my phone. It's on the cloud.
And listen. The sight of a woman walking through the lobby of a hotel, nice hotel, in full hair and makeup. And I mean full, a rain parka and slippers.
And no pants.
Something and no pants is not something you see every day. And
no.
I was like, I did a very quick calculation on the risk rewards, you know, and that's why I came out without pants.
See, that's where you keep me guessing, because that's something you'd think I would do.
That's the thing about us, Jess. Sometimes you think we're going to zig and we zag. Something Heidi was saying to Casey the other day is when you are like, you have your rising sign and you have your sun sign, sometimes we need people around us to actually perform our rising sign so that like we almost use them as like a little mask in the world. And I know Cool Up does it with me, and I've told her this before, that I shield her, my Leo moon, when I say dress code, you know, what I...
Because she's a Leo rising?
Like this. I don't know actually if she's a Leo rising, but I know sometimes that she, wherever it's fallen on her house or whatever, is like, ooh, I would never do that, June. Go ahead.
But you want it. But yes. She needs it and wants it.
Yes. And so I always think that's an interesting thing. The people we have in our lives who we are using almost as like little dolls. Little puppeteers, putting them in front of us and us sort of behind them watching.
Well, I love that. And I was trying to, and I was explaining to BB too, because she was saying, you know, in third grade, they really form these best friend duos. And then, of course, a third comes in, it's always difficult. And I was trying to explain to her that in most best friend duos, there is a, I can't even say it an alpha, but there's somebody who is taking that energy and somebody who is, so there's a June and there's a Cool Up, right? Or there's a, you know, Lennon and me. But the truth is we switch. We go back
over
and forth.
That's true.
Whenever we need to, which is why women are so powerful together. Because that's absolutely true. Like you could say, like, I'm the louder one of Lennon and I. But when... when we need to, she becomes the louder one in her quietness.
Casey and I have talked about that. We may have talked about it on the episode of Casey, but we you know, when we went to our group therapy that we did for a year.
Yeah.
For one year, Casey and I were in group
We had a
therapy.
Lot of time. We had so much time on our hands.
So much time on our hands. So when we were in that class, I had a really hard time with not knowing when it was over because it was supposed to be over at 10. And so sometimes we'd be like starting to work with someone and do their body work at like 9:55. And I'm like, we can't wrap up their trauma in 5 minutes. I have to walk out of the door at 10. Now to go where and to what job, you know, there was nothing going on for me, but I was like, if it's over at 10, it needs to be over at 10.
And then she took on that anger.
Well, Jessica, she didn't seem to mind at all. But I was bitching and moaning to her, and I was so mad. I was like, when is going to be over? And she started turning. Someone needs to, if we're going over, we need to ask the whole class permission. This is trauma. And I was so fucking angry about it, quietly, but unloading it all on her. And don't you know, she didn't care at all. And the next time we were there, the clock struck 10 And they didn't end.
And she exploded.
We have a lot. Like, explode went so much harder than I ever would have. So it's like, it's very interesting, this like symbiotic kind of. And I think the word, I think when we say using people, it's not, it's sort of like trying things on for size and seeing what, you know, what would happen and observing people behaving. I mean, I sometimes feel this with actresses, to be honest, where when I see someone we know or a woman, you know, our age in our industry, like giving everything over to the industry.
That's an interesting, it's a cautionary tale.
I see, when I see that, I don't actually necessarily want to be around that energy, but it's like, I recognize myself in there.
Yes.
And so there's a sick curiosity where I'm like, I have to look at it, but I am also repelled by it, but I know I have that. So it's just interesting that people, I don't know. And I don't think I struggle with jealousy anymore the way that I used to in motherhood. Do you?
I don't.
I used to be so jealous of you.
Oh, you know me. Like, and no remember offense, I said,
but I'm not anymore.
Remember, me neither.
No, again, no offense.
I know. Remember when I said, you were talking about some insane job, like writing job.
Yes.
And that you had that, when we
I
first
thought was
got
like
here.
The bottom of the barrel. You know,
oh, I was
it
so
was a
jealous.
Non-union writing job. Like it was
so jealous.
To hear that you were jealous of that.
Oh, I used to be so jealous. Just
me
all
too.
The time.
Me too.
And that's the release. It's so interesting to have a daughter, because I can see that all of these phases are so necessary. And I want so much to like be able for her to skip some of it, like don't care what anybody thinks, but that's impossible.
Yeah.
But because it took me to my mid-40s to really, truly, she says to me, she's like, Amma, do you care what anybody thinks about you? And the truth is, I don't. I care, like if I hurt my loved ones or I hurt my friends, yeah. That to me is like, I can't even live. But it, when it comes to like, I mean, literally like walking out in a hotel lobby with no pants on, like it doesn't, I couldn't care less.
I know.
And boy, is that freedom. Freedom.
I know.
You know, freedom.
I also think, you know, that And I do think, you know, we had children a little bit later. So, which boy, I recommend. I mean, I'm sorry. I do recommend it. Cause it's like, I think we had that time to give everything to.
Yes.
Our professional journey. And it's just interesting. Like the sort of, I guess what I feel is like, oh, I no longer worship to the false gods. It's also knowing at a certain point that this, I guess it's knowing, and maybe it's capitalism and age and just knowing that the false gods of like, oh, if I just get that thing, if
it'll
I
be happier over here. It'll be
yes.
happier over here. I'll
yes,
never forget.
I'll feel better over there.
About myself.
I don't
about,
believe that anymore.
I'll feel safe. That was a big one. It's like, I'll feel safe because doing what we do is a lot like walking a tight wire all the time. There is no safety net financially, emotionally. There isn't. It just, it's really one of the toughest. It's a horrible.
Yeah.
It's a horrible way to live. But I'll never forget, and Lennon has spoken about, it was written about this, but I will never forget when BFF, our first show, in which both Lennon and I went into the emergency room.
Oh, God.
You didn't know that?
Just Jessica. I didn't know that.
I ate a bad clam. I ordered some sort of a seafood dish in the writer's room
with shellfish, don't you?
And I got so sick that I ended up going to the emergency room. And that night, Lennon went to some event where Blake Shelton gave her the up and down. Do you remember that?
I remember that. I'll never forget that.
Over cold seafood display, over the king crab legs. He gave her a look like, let's go. Are you down?
Wow.
That happened. But then she spent three nights in the emergency room when we were shooting in New York.
What?
Well,
exhaustion?
She's going to get upset.
On tour, she's like
she's going to get upset. But yes, exhaustion. And then she got a massage on her one day off. And the woman used a discontinued Victoria's Secret body splash, which I believe was the cause.
Oh my God.
So what we would do is we'd shoot for 12 hours outside and it was cold in New York. And then we would go to the emergency room every night because her throat was closing. And even crazier, my brother was working at this hospital. He was a medical student and he would come down in his vans and he'd be like, if it's any consolation, I don't think Lennon's going to die. And I'm like, it's no consolation. Then we got back and the NBC said, we need you right away in the edit room. And we did it. And then we aired four episodes of BFF. And then Betty White's Off Their Rockers, which was a show in which elderly people prank other elderly people,
young people. You couldn't compete, Jessica, with that. Just hearing the log line, it makes me laugh. You know,
it's called Off Their Rockers. It was doing better numbers than us. And so we had only shot six episodes. They took us off the air at four. And when they said that, we were in an editing room that had a cheesecloth over the grate because something was coming through. Some sort of asbestos or something, and it was on the hallway where they were editing SVU, and so there was a loop going on. All these editors, there was this audio loop going on of a 911 call that a child was making. Oh, it would say, "My mommy, she won't wake up." So then we got the call right then.
Wow,
you know, mid my mommy. She won't wake up. And then we went for a walk and we walked around the Universal lot and we were crying and everything. It was like, what have we done all this? Like what? We like almost died. Like, what are we doing this for? Yeah. And what is it all for? We hadn't seen our husbands in months. And while we were standing there crying, the Jurassic Park ride kept coming by and it would be like, and like, I was like, what the fuck? And it was right after that Lennon said, I'm going to get pregnant. I'm going to have a baby. Mm. And I was like, wait, no, no, no. This is where we like double down.
Yeah.
And really sacrifice ourselves to the altar of entertainment. I was really upset. That because I thought that would mean that was it. She was going to become a mother. And I had this idea that she was just going to like give up her whole career and I don't know what, like make chicken pot pies for the rest of her life. I have no idea what I thought, but I was like, that's it. I'm all alone now. She's leaving me. And then I ended up saying, well, I might as well get pregnant too because I don't want to be alone. And then I did. Yeah. And then we had babies. And I tell people this. I tell my little young ones that are with me, my beautiful, beautiful Gen Zs and my millennials. If you want that, obviously, if you don't want that, live your fucking best life. But if you do want that, please don't put that off because it's going to give you a perspective in life that's going to be freeing. And that's the secret capitalism doesn't want you to fucking know.
That's true. That's very true. It's very true. Now, unfortunately, there's not enough like infrastructure and support.
But, oh,
you know, that is a real shit show. But just in terms of like, yeah, what we have to offer, I feel the same that motherhood has been super additive.
We don't have time to care. We don't have time to care that much. And
also, we have more to say. It's like we have more at stake. It's just all better. Wow, Jess, that's quite a story. I didn't know. You know, I was just over here jealous. So jealous.
No, like my brother somewhere has pictures of Lennon's butt because we had to keep sending it. Like, is this rash? Like, what is this rash? Like, where are those pictures? We don't know. She's not going to be happy. I said she's going to post a retraction. You know, good old New York Times, you know, book review over there. She's going to say it wasn't the body splash, but I think that the timing was just too perfect. It's probably too late to file a suit against them. And again, if Victoria's Secret wants to come on as a sponsor, like, I'll retract this. Well,
you'll see suddenly if you ever go back to this episode, Deep Divers, that this isn't there. You know, we've done some
splicing.
Humus. Yeah. Whatever.
Splicing and dicing.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, we come a long way, baby. But, you know, I just am happy to be where I am. And someone told me not to get back into astrology, but I read that something was happening, Mercury in retrograde or something was happening, and that it's just lifted. And I know this is coming out. Okay, so it's Thursday. So this is coming out on Tuesday. But I really
feel lifted.
I went to bed very late last night, got up, was late for the kids this morning, getting them to school, all of it. But I do feel like sort of today, okay, the new year has begun.
Yeah, we've arrived. And I told last week, I said, New Year can start whenever you want. You get to choose.
Absolutely.
This is the Lunar New Year. We can choose that.
Yes. Somebody, yes, totally.
Some
totally.
Culture is always having either an Easter or a New Year on a different day. Choose one of those and take it as your own.
Take it as your own, because I'm starting to feel like, okay, there was a real heaviness to the beginning of this year for me and a real dragging. And now I'm like starting to feel like I'm putting things in order. But I did want to talk through, because I actually don't think we've talked about it on this podcast yet, Jess. I did want to talk to you about pickleball, because I know that we are having a really hard time getting, unfortunately, my children's soccer games and sports games are getting in the way of my sports games.
I know. I'm really upset.
I know.
If we're not careful, the whole thing falls apart.
I know. And I'm going to be texting the chain today. Don't worry. And I got to really think through.
It doesn't have to be Sunday morning. We have to be flexible. We got to bend
the wind. You're
absolutely
right. You're absolutely right. And so I've got some thoughts there, and they're going to come out. You'll see. But I just want to say that the last time, because I don't think we've talked about it, the last time you came here, you arrived a half an hour early.
Yeah. We talked about that, didn't we, already? You screamed at me.
So.
Yeah, you screamed.
I don't think we've talked about it.
I was so proud I showed up on time. And then I realized there's nobody there. And I'm like, wait, that's weird. Does nobody ever show up on time? It's like when you've never been on time, you don't know what on time looks like. And maybe this is what it is. Maybe you're the first one there. But then I made a tragic mistake of going around to the front door, because it's like I knew it wasn't happening. And it was kind of like I needed you to see, here I am. And I caught Paul at the recycling bin. He looked startled. And I still, that was still my cue to go like, mea culpa, I'll be back. But I was like,
you
nope.
Didn't.
And
you
I rang kept, the doorbell.
You rang the doorbell, and my son, my oldest son, honestly let you in. And I have never been so disappointed in my child. He said, I screamed out from the bathroom with my other son, whose butt I was wiping.
Go away.
I screamed, go away. You're half an hour early.
get out of here. Get out of here. No, he was like,
yeah, I said, get out of here.
Get out of here. Get out like that. And I
did deep divers. I did.
I deserved it.
And
your child was rattled because
he tried to let you in.
He has your Paul's, daughter. He has Paul's, your oldest has Paul's personality of like, he is, you know, kind of like an old school, like Sammy Davis Jr., like entertainer, like come in, like let's keep, you know, yes, we may be falling apart, but like, come in, I'll get you a drink, I'll fix you a drink. And you were, and his mother was screaming, get out! I said, get out! Like that. And he looked very concerned. Now, my own daughter, as you noticed, was not fazed at all, which tells you something.
So that's what, because that's what I felt really badly about. I realized I was screaming at you, but then I thought after you left, and you did leave eventually. And you know, I know deep divers are thinking, oh, she's your friend. Couldn't you have let her in? No.
No, not what was going on in there. When there's things coming out of people's butts and stuff, and I didn't know there's if you had pants on butts. Again. I don't know.
Yeah.
It really was too soon.
Like, we weren't ready. We were not ready.
30 minutes. It's a Sunday morning. If people came Sunday in unannounced morning. On a Sunday morning. No, but
I didn't have a stitch of makeup on. I was not dressed, you know? And what I needed to do in that half an hour was scream at every member of my family.
Yeah, that's important.
That's what I needed to do.
Okay.
It was to delegate orders and to yell at people for up to a half an hour. And knowing I had a guest where I couldn't be free to do that was not okay with me.
Don't skip that step. It's an important step. Like the French, they leave that half hour to like do their toilette, and we leave a half an hour to scream at everyone. And yes. Gus was understandably, I guess, I don't know. I was like, because then I said to him as I left, if your mom is too scary and you want to come live with me, you can. And then I closed the door and left. And he was like, oh God. And then he was very concerned about our whereabouts. Bibi could not have been less phased. She doesn't, that's,
because nope. then I did spend that half an hour and I did yell at Gus. I said, don't you ever let someone into this home. Don't you ever do that. Because at a certain point, deep divers, like when we let the wrong one in like that at the wrong time, what we're saying to them, to ourselves, to our children, to our space is like, this is okay.
I shouldn't have let Morgan in. I shouldn't have let her across that threshold. Never,
and we didn't even talk about this. And I would like to have Morgan on to talk about why she went in, because I think this is important. When you were a guest, and Jess, I gave you credit. You did the exact right thing, which is you turned around and you left. But even if a host is saying like, oh my God, don't worry, come in.
No, don't. Early.
Please, no, they're lying.
Yes.
They're lying. They're doing what they think they're supposed to do in that moment, which is to, of course, let you in.
It was so
horrible. But they're lying. And so when Morgan came in, I'm assuming, and this is, we're going back right now, deep divers, to Jessica's cozy coastal Christmas.
It was horrible. It was
Morgan
so
arrived,
horrible.
Morgan arrived hours early.
Yeah, an hour early. And I an let her in early. And I regret that. I regret that. I regret that I let her pass the threshold. And eventually.
Got to keep them out.
And then I thought, she's going to sit there the whole time? There she was, like in all neutrals. And I just
oh, Morgan, I want to have her on to talk about this. So.
Yeah, there needs to be a reckoning. And she kept saying, can I help? I'm like, you can help by disappearing.
But yes.
It was like she'd committed a crime.
I thought she went to a coffee shop and came back.
After 15 minutes of sitting there.
Like a bump on a log.
I was like, and I didn't want anyone to see it till it was perfect. I don't want, you know, times when we want people to see our mess. But as I said, excellence is what it is. And we are, oh God, this is a great segue because boy, oh boy, do we have a guest? And we're going to give her a proper introduction, but I'm teasing it because we're going to go to some ad. We have a guest that is the embodiment of our word for 2023, which is excellence.
We'll be right back. Okay, deep divers, something very important is about to happen. We have such a special guest coming on, and I know you know her because her podcast was dropped into our feed, and we got so many comments. And that was both exciting and hurtful because it seemed like you deep divers were, I don't know, more interested in her podcast than ours when
we stole a lot of your listeners, and I hope they stayed because that's the biggest bump we've ever had was dropping you guys in our feed. So I'll take it.
So there's some competing feelings about that, and we might have to get into it. But Suchin Pak is with us. She is, of course, the co-host with Cool Up the Lysak of the podcast Add to Cart, which you can find on iTunes, the Lemonada podcast. It's absolutely wonderful. She's a veteran journalist who has been hosting and reporting the news for over 25 years. She's reported on ABC, NBC, Discovery, Oxygen, and E! And she's also, of course, known for her long career as the only female reporter for MTV News. Paul Scheer, Suchin, I remember the first time I mentioned your name and that I had met you, he absolutely freaked out. But from hosting red carpet shows to reporting on presidential elections, international relief efforts, and covering some of the biggest headlines in news, Suchin has been a dedicated journalist since reporting on her first show at the age of 16. Jess, you said it when she popped up on our Zoom screen. She is truly the embodiment of our 2023 word. Excellent.
She's our ambassador. Suchin, welcome. Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, Suchin.
Wow. It's like I've dropped into another universe. You know, I mean, excellence is not, I haven't sat in excellence in quite a while. You know, an achievement per se. I've more settled into my 40s in a, this is good enough.
But
wow.
You know?
But well, Suchin, that's exactly how excellent you are. Is that you've been sitting in it your whole life. You don't even know what excellence is.
Yeah.
That you're good enough is everyone else is excellent. So fine. And that could be I shudder to think what your excellent is, quite frankly.
And I just have to tell you, Suchin, that just yesterday, and I mean yesterday, I was cutting together some pictures of Cool Up, because of course Cool Up the Lysak and Matt McConkie are fashion judges, for the Galentine's Day pickleball tournament. And so I was working on an asset, as they say, to post.
An excellent asset.
And I was going through some add to cart photos of you and Sue and Koo. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at you in that red blouse with the bow and your hair in such a sleek bob, and then that pop of Jessica, this pop of red lip.
And I'm looking at her lips right now.
I know, but I focused on it for too long. You know, I was really in that photo. So yeah, I know there's a lot to be said about what you've got going on internally, but I do have to take a moment.
But we work outside in.
Outside in, baby.
Podcast, right?
Outside in. Outside in. And I have to honor and welcome the external, the beautiful Suchin Pak.
Thank you.
How do we find you today? And of course, we want to just slide into the last conversation we were having, because I do want your point of view on this. Your takes make me laugh so hard, and I just need to know where you stand. Jessica and I just were going over lateness. I know it's a topic that we're talking about a lot. Jessica showed up for a pickleball event a half an hour early. Someone shows up to your house, Suchin, a half an hour early. What do you do? Do you let him in?
Now, this is really interesting because within this friend group, I had no idea until I really till Kulop's, I think, baby shower did this kind of conversation come up at Casey's house, where people were pointed out to me by others, like actually physically pointed out, like that one there in the corner and that one there in the blue shirt. And that, and it was an intimate gathering. There were people, but it was pretty intimate. I was like, wow, that's a very direct point at someone who's not that far, to shame people for showing up early and even, I would say, on time. You know, I did not realize that there was a group of people out there with a different time frame, that when an RSVP says 11 a.m., what it means is 11:30-ish.
Yeah.
If you're 11:15,
I have such a small window, actually. I've said this before. I think 11:30 is too late. I like... Yeah. 11:05 to me, that's a beautiful.
Oh, a 5 minute.
11:15. Anything past that, I start getting a little lit, like you're concerned. Late. So my window is so small to land on my runway. It's the shortest runway.
Shortest runway.
What's the most dangerous airport in America?
Steepest decline. Yeah. Well. I'm glad to hear that, June. I'm glad to hear that, June, because the amount of judgment and derision that I've heard from people, I was thinking, wow, is it like an 11:30? But you're telling me I think an 11:05, 11:15 is very respectable.
Very respectable.
Now,
dignified.
I grew up in a household where showing up on time is showing up late.
Okay. That's excellence.
Where showing up early is on time. My brother and I, for a brief while, ran a business together. And boy, do I not recommend doing that with your sibling. And he would consistently, if an 11 a.m. meeting happened, I'm like, I'm going to get there 5 minutes early just to like touch up my lipstick, go to the bathroom, settle in.
Wow.
And then if the person opens the door at 11, I'm ready. But usually people are opening their doors somewhere between 11 and 11:15. At 10:30 a.m., I'm getting texts. Where are you? How close are you? Panic. And it creates this undue stress for the rest of us. But that's the house I grew up in.
Wow.
So for my brother, a 15 to 30 minute pre-arrival time, and you could be walking around the block checking emails, but he needs that time to know everyone's going to show up. We're all here together.
Okay.
Whatever it is. So I grew up in that household. So.
Okay. Because I know Danielle Schneider is the same way, Suchin, as your brother, where she'll, she's had to learn this the hard way, of course, by being publicly shamed, but she now will sit in her car because she has to be early.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she'll sit in her car. So I'm fine
and
with
wait.
That.
No. Yeah. And so let me tell you the type of person I am. And it just happened now, where I knew I had to be, you know, log on at 11:45. So the whole morning I've got planned. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I need to start heating up my food at 11 o'clock.
Bless.
Okay. I need to have my meal, my blood sugar right. These girls are going to be on point. I cannot be hungry. By 11:30, my last chew has to go down my throat. What does that mean, Sujen? What does that mean? What are you going to have? So I was like, I'm going to do something simple. I'm going to heat up a leftover, but I'm going to have a little salad. You know, just a little salad. You know, just to keep something fresh, something, you know, light.
So crazy.
And I'm there at 11 o'clock slicing...
Slicing and dicing.
And at 11:10, my cabbage is still not sliced. And I'm like, I am in trouble. Abandon ye cabbage, throwing it over my shoulder, scarfing it down to me. So I'm the person that is another great example. Let me use Danielle's example.
Yeah.
And Kulop's baby shower. I showed up, of course, 15 minutes early, but I'm going to sit in my car, but I'm at the wrong address. I'm at the wrong address.
Oh, and so God.
I walk
that.
Up.
I
and
knew
I'm
there
like,
was
ooh.
Something and that then happened. You go, as you're talking about the baby shower, I'm like, I've got some narrative for her, but I couldn't remember what it was. You were at Club's house.
Yeah. So for me, it's early, but it's never on target.
Yeah.
It's never on target. Well, I can't land
early
the plane, June.
No, you're at the wrong airport.
Yeah, I'm at the wrong airport, but I'm early.
That makes me love you even more, though. You know, we have to have those flaws or else I can't connect to you. This makes me feel so good. I'm so glad to hear this. By the way, I just changed my little brother's name in my phone to Spare.
Oh.
I'm the heir. He's the spare. And it
does he know that?
Yeah. It delights me when it comes up. The spare. So I do. I just wanted to get that in there. Please, if you have a little brother, please change his name in your phone. Go ahead.
Oh, I have no. That's but in my family, I'm like, I want to be the spare. I don't want to be first in line.
You have
my brother and I would fight over the spare.
I know we all do, but you're either the heir or you're the spare. And you have to know who you are and you need to accept it.
Definitely the heir. Definitely the. I mean,
are you bringing heir energy?
Even,
you know, listen, it's very popular.
I'm not even
spare
trying.
These days.
I'm not even trying.
Listen, I think you're absolutely right, though. Sujin, that there's a lot of freedom in being the spare. You know, some of us heirs have a very big cross to bear and it's very heavy. So, you know, there's...
Who do you think is having more fun? Harry or William?
Correct.
Harry or William? I haven't seen a smile on William's face in like 20 years. You know, who's keeping more of their hair?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
who's living in Oprah land? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
got the
true.
Beautiful weather. I mean, the spares always, they seem to do better. Listen, my brother's living his best life, not married, no kids, living in New York, out every night. You know, I mean.
Yes.
He's the spare. Showing up on time, showing up early.
Oh, God bless. God bless.
So, Sujin, this is what you brought it up, but I did want to talk to you about this, if you're willing. And I know I was reading a post that you posted a few weeks ago about, well, it was about healthcare and taking care of elderly parents. And it's something we've talked a lot about on our show. And I know, Jessica and I just talked about the show Off Their Rockers, which was the Betty White series. Reality prank
that
show
put the nail in the coffin of my dream.
Pushed her own show off of NBC back in the early aughts.
Early.
I know that what I'm going to say sort of disputes this fact, but I do think that elder care and how we treat our elderly and how, you know, we value elders in America is so. You know, again, Jessica was displaced by the elderly. So it seems they...
Certainly their ratings go hold. I understand.
say what you will. But, you know, I do... But I'm so appreciative of... And obviously I was on Grace and Frankie, which was a show that was really about, you know, showing people aging with... their full humanity and their sexuality and their humor and their rage and their sadness and grief and all of it intact. And so I'm so appreciative of people who bring elders into the conversation and help us question like how we frame caring for elders. And what that is, and I connected so much to what you wrote on your post because, of course, I've done it too, not with both of my parents, but certainly with my father, and it is incredibly distressing to have to deal with the healthcare system and paralyzing, and it's a feeling of being totally out of control. And so I was just wondering if you might share with us how you're navigating it and what you've learned, because I know so many women are listening to this podcast, especially who are in the sandwich generation of taking care of small children and aging parents at the exact same time.
I mean, I don't, there's so much talk and conversation and still more to be had, but, you know, having kids, you know, when you're ready, you're preparing to have kids, there's books and chat rooms and, you know what I mean? Like, if you're really looking for a community, I think especially now that you can find that. But nobody prepared me. Nobody told me about what it was going to be like to be the heir, care of aging parents. And I've always taken care of my parents. And I think that that's very much an immigrant experience as well.
Yes.
You know, like they don't have, in Asia, they don't have, you know, robust social security systems because that's what the kids are for. You know, where their that's social security and their retirement, you know? And so I've always taken care of my parents, always knew that. But until you're actually sitting there, you know, either in a hospital or on the phone or, you know, every day I have two calendars, right? One for myself and then one for my parents. And then on top of that, navigating, my parents never had insurance until they got Medicaid.
Wow.
So their whole lives up until they were, I don't know when that kicks in, 65, they've never had insurance. My dad's never been in a hospital.
Wow.
Never been in a hospital.
Wow.
And there were many times when he should have been in a hospital. And in fact, I have to imagine that we wouldn't be in the state that we were, that we're in today had he had access to healthcare. But, you know, we weren't able to afford why he was walking the way that he had been walking for 20 plus years with pain and, you know, having all this trouble because we couldn't afford it and they couldn't afford it. And then now we're in this whole kind of like trying to save whatever we can so that this man can walk and move on his own and have some independence. So that's kind of my particular experience with it. So there's that. There's, you know, the podcast that I'm doing, Uncared For, you know, looks at, we know this. We know that the zip code that you live in, we know that the color of your skin, we know that your income all dictates in this country the level of care you get. And whether you think that's fair or not, whether you agree or not, that's how it is.
It's just
that's
the truth.
It, period.
Yes.
That's just the truth. And I happen to live in a zip code, you know, where I'm fortunate enough where the Medicare system here provided much better than the Medicare system back where my parents were, which wasn't a great zip code before they moved here. Do you know what I mean? And so like, I'm seeing all of this happen. So all of these things are out of our control. And June, what you're talking about, it's not only that life, like life as in big L, quote unquote, is out of our control. We age and we move on. I'm talking about the medical system is out of our control. Like when and where I can get prescriptions and who and all of that stuff is out of our control, you know? And then on top of it, my parents don't speak English.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you have to be at these appointments.
Yeah. And I have to be there and I have to be advocating for him. And even if your parents do speak English, because I have in-laws, so we live where both my husband's in-laws live here and we did that because we both are the caretakers for our parents. And his parents are in a completely different income bracket. They speak English and you still have to advocate for them. And so advocating even just like in the hospital of going in every day and being like, Dad, why are you sitting in your own urine? How long have you been doing this? Did you call a nurse? You know what I mean?
Right,
so
yes.
It's this constant thing. And every time you leave, you're sort of in this extremely vulnerable place of like, what do I can't live there. I can't stay there. What's happening? You know, you just can't help but think about, right?
And it was
what's happening
wheel.
When you're not there.
And I will never forget when I was in the that's hospital right. with a loved one, June said the squeaky wheel gets the grease when
that's
you're
right.
talking about medical
that's
care.
Right.
And I didn't, yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize that. And I look at no. people who are in the hospital by themselves and I shudder
mm-hmm.
because maybe you're on a good haul and maybe you aren't. And maybe but it's a good RN and
you throw
it
a language barrier into that.
Either's, yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so, you know, and so one of the big things I learned never having been really in a hospital, I mean, I think the only time I've ever been in a hospital was when I had my kids, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, and my parents had never been, is a lot of hospitals, I would say most hospitals, if not all, have some kind of department that deals with quote unquote customer care. That's not what they're called. They're called different mm-hmm. names, right? It could be client care, yeah. whatever it is, but they all do, and it's a back office somewhere. And I didn't know that until I reached this woman. And once I got her number and her name, then I knew that if I had any complaints, if I had any concerns, I was not going to talk to a nurse. I was not going to talk to the charge nurse. I was not, all these things that people had told me to do, and it really wasn't working. I was going to go to the person that was writing checks and that was accepting checks from the community that really has sort of like the hospital kind of like performance in mind, wow. right? Most hospitals have this now. And so that was like a whole world that I was like, wow, this is another avenue for advocating for yourself that I didn't know this.
Would've
I thought just talk to the nurse. But sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes that's the person that you're having problems with. So anyway, on that kind of those minuscule levels, but I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned and I am learning is and trying to figure out, and I wonder if you guys figured this out, when you're dealing with illness and that sort of such immediate kind of, where something can't wait, right? You can't put it off. You lose yourself.
Yeah.
And you start taking calls in the middle of the night. You start driving over there every 5 minutes. You're checking the temperature of their water. You know what I mean? You're starting to do things that you think are helpful. And at some point you have to step back and you have to say, wait, me being this tired and worn out and resentful and close to rage all day long is so much more detrimental to my parents' health than actually what they're dealing with. Like coming in here hot, being like, what do you mean? You have it? Did you take your medication? Like what? You know, this energy because you're so tired and you haven't set the boundaries for yourself. And there are times when you pick up the call in the middle of the night. And then there are other times when you just
have to sleep.
You have to sleep.
You have to sleep.
To be honest, I'm listening to you and I am taken back to that time of navigation and like the journey to figure out what the system is, right? Yeah. To figure out where the most, how to get something you need, you know? And I'm remembering, which I haven't thought about in so long, but I'm remembering because my father went into a hospital for an infection on his leg. Now, he did have leukemia at the time, but he drove himself to the hospital. And this is a hospital in Florida. I mean, healthcare system in Florida, don't even get me started on that. But drove to the hospital and within 20 hours was in the ICU.
Yeah.
And we were being told that he was not going to make it. So there were such a cascading series of events and catastrophes that were happening and care where people, I started to see the nurses look at him like he was gone and an old man. And I was screaming, he drove here yesterday. Do not treat him like that. You know, so, and the lack of dignity and respect I felt that they were giving him.
Yeah.
But what I'm really like remembering mm-hmm. is the attempts. Like I remember the first, when I first got there and I was like, oh my God, there's not enough nurses here.
Yeah.
And what the fuck is happening? And why can't I talk to someone? I ran out and got the entire floor of nurses' Frappuccinos mm-hmm. because I thought I could buy them and be nice. So then I was like, be nice. I'm nice. I'm the nice woman. Thank you so much for taking care of me. And within, I want to say 4 hours, these very people I had handed Frappuccinos to, I was screaming, yeah. I'm going to get you fucking fired. Like, yeah. It was the wildest yeah. turn of events. Because when we talk about advocating, it's literally like I'm putting aside all of my need to be liked, my need for you to think I'm whatever, to save this person's
life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it doesn't go well, I'm gonna you know what I mean?
I'm gonna beat like, your ass. I believe yeah, I said I'm yeah. gonna beat your ass. You know, I said things. You guys, I said things. I
yeah,
said
but crazy Shirley things. McLean's the Shirley MacLaine moment.
Yeah,
and, exactly. And June, I was somewhere that basically didn't, and I, because nurses are angels. I want to be very yeah. clear. Like, they are angels that listen, walk among us.
And but, they have to, listen, because that, I'm glad you said that, Jess, because yeah. I think that what happens is, like, we are screaming at these people, mm. and they are also a part of such a messed up system that does not, I mean, nurses are going on strike in this country because of this. Yeah. They're yes. understaffed, underpaid.
And all and of this sent is true. In. Remember, all the nurses were like, yeah, go on in there without the right mask. Like, it all depends on the hospital,
absolutely.
Too. And the organization of the hospital. It's like these poor people have been on shift after shift and there's not enough help. And it's like, and in that situation, it's like the person screaming might get the attention because they are like so strapped. Like, you can't say,
oh, a nurse, in some cases, a there nurse that I was begging for something. I don't remember what it was. Pain medication. I mean, when you're trying to get someone pain medication and someone that you love is screaming in pain and you're mm. trying to get someone to hear it and to listen and to do something about it. These are panicked times and moments.
No, it's animals.
It's
the
animals.
The mama
primal
bear.
Stuff.
It's instinct Gay. Comes out.
And this nurse, I remember grabbing her and saying, you need to get my father pain meds now.
Yeah.
yeah. He's screaming.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was just attacked by a meth addict in the ICU who like woke up from his whatever stupor and yeah. literally attacked her. And I looked at her and I go, I'm so sorry. Can you go get the pain meds now?
Yeah. like you are. Yeah. You're reduced. You're reduced to your basest instincts.
Mm-hmm. It's I also animal think it's stuff. Very, it's animal
this
stuff.
This is also mm-hmm. interesting to me too, right? Because we're children, right? So like this is your parent and they're there to take care of you. And like your whole life, you're kind of like, well, I'll always have my parents here like taking care of me. That's their job. But then there's something that the moment they need help, you switch and you're like, I'm the fucking parent and I'm going to fucking kill anybody who I need to protect them. And I'm like, wow, is this some genetic thing where like we're supposed to make that shift because it's so instantaneous?
Yeah.
That's a wild switch, isn't it?
And when you say that, the thing that I think about, though, too, on top of it is, but the parents have to make that switch. And there are some parents that don't make that switch, even in the most dire times. So my father has made that switch where he's like, you tell me where to go, where to show up, what to eat. Just tell me. And my mother is like, don't you come in here
and tell me.
Mm-hmm. And
I get that.
That's a different.
That's hard too.
And that's the different, you know, and you can have both. And so it's finding my own equilibrium in that, where my dad, God bless him, and I know I'm a beast. You know, I can rage at him and be like, how many times do I have to tell you, you have to do these exercises? You will never walk again. Oh my and God, this will all be for nothing, right?
Feel this, yes.
Right?
Yes.
And my dad's like, you're right, honey, you're right, you're right. I'm going to do better, right? With my mother, I sidestep and I blink too hard. And she's like, I'm sorry, excuse me? You know what I mean? And so, like, two different approaches. Like, I could never approach my mother the way.
Do you think there's a mother? Do you think, I mean, obviously we're generalizing, but do you think that there's a harder time possibly for a mother to give up? I know that, like, as a mother who was sick, I had a 2-year-old, but I was like, here's what's going to happen. Ain't nobody going to know about this because I'm the mother. Okay.
Correct.
So that's You're what's going to happen. And I'll never forget coming home from the hospital, having just gotten my boobs done, and I was not supposed to pick up anything like a pencil. Mm-mm. And BB reached out. I was like, scoop. And everyone, Lennon and Dan, were like, oh my God. And I was like, nope. Mama Bear be scooping up everybody. Don't fight. And so if I can imagine being the roles reversed and BB fucking trying to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm the mama bear, friend, and I will be till I die.
That's right.
So I wonder if there's a mother thing that's difficult.
Well, but my dad was like your mom, Sujin. My dad was very, you know, and what I will offer is I look back now, and not always, but sometimes, and I wish that I had not spent so much of the time, those last years we had, screaming at him to get an ambulance, you know, screaming and saying, I'll never talk to you again. You know,
June,
leveraging 100%. Everything I had to try 100%. To get this fucking man to go to the hospital when he had a fever.
100%.
And I'm just like,
yep.
At a certain point, it is his body. And
well, that's an important part, right? That's their story at the end of the day.
Yeah. And June, this is where I'm at, and the boundaries and all that. It's because I just realized that I don't want to spend the rest of my time with my mom in that space anymore. And two, is this causing more harm than what I see is, you know, my mom's dealing with a bit of dementia, right? And I'm like, all the MRIs, all the pills, all of that is me screaming at her every day to take her meds, to go on this walk, every interaction we have, stop eating sausage every morning, your cholesterol, you know, is that in some ways just as harmful, if not more harmful, than what's already happening to her brain? Like, I would argue, yes, because I've seen it. I've backed off from my mother, and I've seen clarity. I've seen calm. I've seen her laugh. I haven't seen her laugh, and probably I can't tell you the last time I made my mom laugh. You know, and I've seen that from backing off from all of this and having a different approach and being like, "This is her life. This is her body. These are her choices. I take this away, and what does she have?" And that is what's causing the depression. And that is part of what's causing the X and the Y and the, you know, what is the point? And so trying to find your voice in that, trying to advocate, but also such a gray, fuzzy, you know, map.
I'm thinking too about the medical, that Hippocratic oath, do no harm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like, maybe we let them eat the sausage. They're going to be eating the sausage anyway the moment you walk out the door.
And I bought sausage on sale yesterday, dropped it off at her house.
Bless. Bless.
She loves a beef sausage
it
in the morning.
It ain't going to be the sausage that takes her.
It's not going to be the sausage.
Well, yeah.
That's right.
It ain't going to be the sausage.
Well, I think the thing that it gives you, at least it gives me, and even, you know, my parents are, you know, by no means even, knock on wood, they're not in critical condition anymore. They're
wonderful.
They've got, you know, I think that they've got many years ahead of them, but there's a kind of peace in that. I don't know how to put this. I know that should they be taken from me tomorrow, there's peace in the way that I did everything I could. I showed up, even in rages.
Yes.
I showed up unwanted. I showed up, you know, I showed up.
Yes.
And
yeah, nobody called for you and you were there.
Nobody called and I was still there.
Yeah.
They, you know,
I was
knocking on the door, locked doors, still knocking. And there's peace in that for me. Like I there's been this kind of opening, I think, for both of my parents and I. We all have difficult relationships. The best relationships with our parents are difficult. Yeah. And they have good and bad and all of that. And, you know, my father is a much softer person and, you know, just, but, you know, even him, you know, I just remember at one point I was putting heat patches on his shoulders because he was getting all of these muscle spasms and he, you know, of a generation and a culture that does not say thank you, you know, just grabbed my hand with such force. I had never seen such life force from this man. I was like, oh God, is he having a heart attack? And he eked out, thank you. And I just ran from the room, you know, just like ran, you know, and just process, cleaning, process, you know, just processing. And just what he, because you're so go that you don't even see it. Some, you know, you don't have time to wonder, like, I wonder how he's processing this. I wonder what he's seeing, because you're just trying to fight, and you see that. And so it's like moments like that give me like an incredible peace. And like you said, June, just like when you say it's like the honor of your life, like I didn't think that maybe 4 months ago when sort of all of this came crashing down. I see that now. I see that now. And my mother shows it in different ways where, you know, I see, it's different, but I can see in moments that like, she'll, you know, so when my dad does that, my mom will be like, oh, I mean, I don't know how much gas it's costing you to take you to all these appointments. Gas prices are so expensive. You know, I don't know. You're just driving around a lot, you know, and
that's her way to say thank you. I know the sacrifice you're making.
Yes. And yelling at me about spending, you know, gas money and that sort of thing. I was like, oh yeah, this is her way. This is the most vulnerable that she'll ever be with me. And it is, I mean, can you imagine? I can imagine. And we've all been in different health problems ourselves, how vulnerable you feel. And saying thank you to someone when you're feeling that vulnerable is like the thread, the last thread that is holding the quilt together, and you pull on it and the whole thing falls apart. That's what it feels like for me. And I know
totally.
I'm a lot like my mother, and it feels like for her. So this is it, right? This is the dance. But I'm glad that I got here sooner than I thought I would, to be honest. Like, I'm really happy that this is where I'm at. Because when this started, I mean, I was just having such rage problems, like uncontrollable rage, middle of the night, screaming at my kids, just throwing things. Like,
You were so mad this was happening. And like you said, June, where was it going? Where was the outlet for it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was eating me alive, and it was making me sick. I've had this cold probably on and off for, you know, half a year. I cannot get rid of it. And it's just, I'm finally kind of coming to like, okay, I have to address my immune system. I have to see like what the last 6 months has done to my body, because right? I mean, you'll just keep going until...
But and that's burnout.
It's that's the book Burnout.
That's burnout.
That yes. Is, and a part burnout. Of me is like, oh, we talk about patient advocates. And I think that's something that there's a cultural understanding of that now. Like, oh, when you go to the hospital, you need to bring someone. And there's patient yeah. advocate. And some hospitals do appoint a patient advocate for you. There are, you know, some. But I also think that what we're talking about is... support for that patient advocate, support for the caregiver. There, yeah. you walk into this system, and I'm so excited for this podcast, Sujin.
It's really going to be so helpful.
Yeah.
Because you walk into this system, and you're absolutely right. There are so many, there's resources for moms. I mean, some of them are, you know, I find them to be really toxic, but there are some, but there's a world, there's a TikTok, there's a something you're going to find, you know, I think beware because some of them can make you feel worse, but there are communities out there. But when you step into this giant system, it's truly like it's like you don't speak the language. You don't, how do you get to that woman that you got to?
Yeah.
Or even knew they existed.
How do you work the system?
And also, I'm remembering, I just have to share this little moment about the spare in my life. I'm thinking about the people who have no family. Mm-hmm. Because my brother, when he was in medical school, my parents found this little drawing on his desk. It was like a map of a house with a treasure map. And we were like, Ryan, what the fuck is this? And one of his patients, an elderly man, had said, my cats are all alone and I'm afraid no one will feed them. Mm. And my brother said, let's draw a map and I'll go to your house and feed your cat.
Well, listen, we talked to Brogan about it a few weeks ago, who came on the podcast, and she was talking about how she's gotten calls. She cleans, does deep cleanings and declutterings for hoarding situations. But she talked about getting calls from nurses, from elderly patients who are being discharged to unsafe living environments.
Yeah.
And the sort of the pipeline right into homelessness, because there's... you know, that follow-up care, aftercare.
You get kicked out of rehab. Like now with health insurance, you're kicked out of rehab after a couple yeah. weeks. And then where do you go? And what are we doing? What are we doing yeah. to help people in our society? I don't have any of these answers, so I feel stupid even asking the question. But Sujin, with you bringing your voice to it, we all become more aware, hopefully. And then we think, what can we do yeah. about it? And
yeah.
and I know that we women can do so much when we put our minds to it. And we have so many things that need addressing for our children. But the elderly cannot be the thing that comes last, because yeah. we are all going to end up there.
And there are models in the world. And, you know, we got to, you know, talk and travel to some of these places where it works.
Wow.
You know, ooh, I'm so excited.
So,
yes.
So it's not, this isn't, yes, this is difficult in this country. Yes, we're starting a lot from ground zero in some ways, but it's not like there aren't blueprints out there.
That's right. You know?
That's so
absolutely there is. Right. This, yeah. this, we do not have to accept this.
No.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Sujin. So what can we expect? Where can we direct our deep divers in terms of keeping a lookout for uncared for? Can we start subscribing now? What's the
please
situation?
Well, it's a limited series, and it's the, you know, first season. I don't know if there'll be others, but it's called Uncared For. You can binge and listen. I love hearing, you know, I've gotten texts and DMs, lots of DMs from nurses and people in healthcare, by the way, sharing their story. Because you talk about trauma as a patient. I mean, talk about being a nurse who really does fucking care and have to, you know, day in and day out, make these tough choices.
And not have the resources.
And not have the resources and not have, you know, advocates for them. you know, and what they're going through. So anyway, and you know, the first season we really dive into, we take a microscopic look at maternal care and how that is a sort of a microcosm of a bigger problem and how that illuminates all that is wrong with our own healthcare system. And then we travel all over the world and figure out places where they are doing it correctly and how what can we learn from that? What can we take away from that? For me, you know, lobbying as a healthcare advocate, I mean, I can't even imagine a bigger, you know, monster, you know, to try to tame. But I think understanding that there are other modes and models of care, understanding that we as a country, as a community, as women, have to respect that everyone, the right to healthcare and the right to take care of our bodies, that's a human right. And if you, that's centering the conversation on humanity, all the other stuff kind of can't move without that conversation moving. And there are countries all around the world where that's where they root their healthcare system, is in what is good for the people. And then they go from there to policy. So I think there is a lot that we can do and talk about. So thank you.
This is so exciting. Deep Divers, Uncared For, you can go on to, you can find it wherever you find your podcast. It's a part of Lemonada. Season one is out. And you can hear more about this topic. I think this is especially important for all of you deep divers who are a part of the care system. And we are all going to be taken care of and are taking care of other people, friends, elders, children. And I'm just so thrilled that you're doing this podcast, Sujin. And of course, you can also hear Sujin, our dear friend Kulap, on Add to Cart.
As serious as she has been on this podcast, she is as serious about the dumbest shit.
Well, like, and that's the truth. And I didn't even talk about, do you have a storefront? Do you have an Amazon storefront?
Ladies, Kulap came a running. Came a running as she does with her little thing. It. Guess what I heard at the ladies' luncheon? Just St. Clair talked about this Amazon storefront. You need to do it. It took a bit of campaigning. I have to admit, I was like, I don't have time for this right now. But my goodness.
Your podcast is an Amazon storefront. When we realized that Jessica had one and Kulap and you didn't, I'm telling you, people almost revolted. People wanted to throw things
at me for just trying to get the word out.
I mean, we're not smart. That's not what we do. You know, we're not a smart podcast. You can go somewhere else for that. I get it.
Smarter, not harder.
But it's up, honey. And the shelves are stocked. June, on your birthday, the gift that was given to me was your Amazon storefront.
Thank you.
And let me tell you, I pinged it all the way over there. You know, follow. I mean, what is so absolutely crazy, this guys. Is so crazy. And pennies from the sky, you guys. I don't even understand. We are restocking. We are shining the shelves. We were reorganizing. Think about what's the best list name for this. That's the new thing Kulap and I are doing. Like, come on, let's jazz up these list names.
I like
that.
I like that a lot.
Really do. You guys are putting a lot of care and attention on it. And I appreciate it. So we will, of course, link, you know, and I can't believe we have yet another competing storefront.
I
mean,
I welcome. And
by the way, all your storefronts are on Add to Cart. I mean, these aren't competing. God, this is a mall. We're opening up a mall. Sometimes you need a little bit of jewelry. Sometimes you need a little lingerie. Listen,
by the way, here's what I'm learning too, is like, at Nordstrom and Bloomingdale's and Macy's, and there's lots of the same items. You use all the same departments, but those are different shopping experiences.
That's correct. Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, those are very, and I like to consider myself a Nordstrom experience.
And I'm Neiman Marcus, bitch. No, just kidding. I'm not.
I'm Target.
I'm TJ Maxx. I'm TJ Maxx all the way.
Yeah. Your target. Yeah, all the way. Your target.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I that's am a target. I mean, listen, that's there's nothing better.
There's
and a, yeah, you Jess, know, you, TJ Maxx is also that's a treasure trove.
It's a
look
treasure
at June.
Trove.
She can barely get the words out.
You're
Nordstrom
like
over there.
You're like now
treasure trove.
I do want to say I'm going to reveal some shame, and then we're going to get off this podcast. And that is that I got a notification from Amazon that my sales have not been high enough. And if I don't get some things moving off my shelves, they're going to take away my storefront.
How? I didn't even know that was possible.
Wait,
are you
you're not
sure
taking
that's
up
not a
real estate? Yeah, are you sure that's not someone fishing
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I've no. never heard of. They can take it away?
Dan, it got forwarded. Of course, it's somehow Dan's Amazon account, but he forwarded it. He goes, what is, he felt shame receiving it. And he thought, what are we going to do about this?
And none of us would be here
without you.
You're okay. So now, ladies, let's gather around the fire. Let's squat on our and everybody
let's
focus.
Let's purchase something. I gotta add some things. It's a limited selection that I'm offering.
And the other thing is, I think we gotta mix it up. I think like this idea that we're just gonna put it up and like
and
we're
just
gonna
let it be.
That's not possible. It's like Nordstrom. They have seasons.
I know. I got to put some attention to it. Maintenance.
Yes. New.
I know.
Excellence.
Yes.
Excellence.
So we can't just set it and forget it. I wish we could, but
I really thought we could.
I thought we could, but it seems that once you purchase the pair of small hoops that I put on there, you're not going to come back to purchase them again. So that's something I've learned.
As
that
much
we
as
gotta,
just,
you know,
we've said reject capitalism for the first 45 minutes of this podcast, and now we're just saying embrace it as much as possible. Right. You're never going to pin us down.
Listen, no,
all right. There's going to be a lot of competing ideas here, and direct, you know,
contradictions.
Yes, sometimes in the very same breath. So.
Yeah. Yep. Titian, you're coming back to talk about your
you
lotions
do your
and
own
potions
research
and,
out there.
Please.
Folks. And we love you. We love
Titian,
you so much.
I am going because on my link tree, I've linked to Jessica's shop. I'm going to link to your shop as well, sweetie.
Me too.
Well, okay.
Y'all have been up in the mall from day one. So, you know, I think that's how it works. I don't know. I'm making it up, but
nobody
it feels
knows,
right.
But that's
it feels you know, right.
And maybe what we need is some sort of a platform that could host all of our stores. Yeah. So you could
girl
enter
could dream.
Into
a
just sort
dream.
Of like the space. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I'll an idea you. I'm going to sort of like marinate on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll meet you at
Thank
the Orange
you so
Julius.
Much, Suchin.
All right.
We will talk to you soon, Deep Divers. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. Deep, there you go. Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Earwolf, Jessica St. Clair, and June Diane Raphael. Our producer is Anna Cecilia, and our executive producer is Cody Fisher. Our sound engineer is Veronica Simonetti.
You can listen to our full archive of episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use code DEEPDIVE. Special thanks to Anne Geddes for our cover art and Lennon Parham for her sweet vocals. And remember, the best way to support the Deep Dive is to rate and review.